So good to be here with you all this morning. I'd like to echo the words of Perry at the
beginning and invite you through the lesson to take your Bible and follow along with the things being said here this morning and test them against God's Word. Having said that, if you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll be starting in 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 8 it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." For the next little while this morning, we'll be considering ways in which we can prepare to actively combat our adversary, the devil. It's important to notice that he's just that. The devil is our adversary. He is our enemy and our active opposition. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. If you've ever seen those National Geographic type channels on TV, and you've seen a lion hunt, what does it do? It prowls around, sneaking around, stalking what it might eat for its next meal. He scopes out a good prey, and he attacks it, just like that. It's not warning, he just does it. Consider the devil in the story of Job. In Job chapter 1, when Satan confronts God, God asks him where he's been, and Satan says that he's been going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it. Satan's goal is to get a man of God to curse God to his face. In Job chapter 1, if you would look over there, in Job 1, verse 8, it says, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?'" We see it's God who brings up the name of Job, but listen to how Satan responds to this. It says, "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land.'" We see that God is the one who brings up the name of Job, but the devil responds. He's already noticed who Job is. He's noticed the blessings that Job has and how richly God has blessed him in his life. And the devil had taken note of this. He'd taken note of a man of God, a faithful man, says he's blameless, and he wants to go after him. And that's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to tear us away from God by plaguing us with sin. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 defines sin as being lawlessness. Sin is without the law. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." Sin is without the law, and being without the law is a separation from God. And this is what Satan's trying to do. We can see it in the world around us. We're so littered with sin in the world. We see the homosexuality and transgenderism. We see sexual immorality, teen pregnancy, abortions and divorce. There's domestic violence and lying and cheating and stealing. There's foul language and people use the name of the Lord as if it's nothing. There's immodesty. There's drug use and alcohol use. So much sin in the world. And sometimes we think it's that. We think the sin is just in the world. But Satan's attacking us. We see the sin creeping into those who are God's. See it creeping into Christians. See young men and women alike dressing immodestly, exposing parts of their body that God calls shameful nakedness. See Christians using foul language. Christians using the name of the Lord in vain. They aren't saying it explicitly. They're using euphemisms. Words that mean the same thing. They don't think about the words that we say. We seem to have a lack of respect towards each other sometimes. Lack of respect towards God, our Creator. The devil is attacking us. He is getting into God's people. And we need to be on guard. We need to be ready to combat that sin when we're faced with it. And we are faced with it. There's a saying, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. We can't just dip our toes into the waters of sin. It'll overwhelm us. The devil and his tactics are truly overwhelming. Ephesians chapter 6, they're talking about the whole armor of God. And in verse 16 it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It's these fiery darts that the devil's hurling at us that we need to be on guard against. And there's a few ideas here in 1 Peter chapter 5 that explain to us how we can do that. The first of these things that he says here is to be sober. This means to be calm and collected in spirit. To be temperate, dispassionate, and circumspect. The idea of being able to see the whole big picture. It's used in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. The word watchful here is the same word used in 1 Peter chapter 5 as sober. It's also in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. The idea here is to have ourselves in order and under control. We need to be able to show moderation and self-restraint. We can't be influenced by strong emotion. We need to be able to think rationally and impartially. And we need to be unwilling to take risks, unwilling to play with the fire of sin. And to do this, we must purify ourselves. We must purify our hearts. In Mark chapter 7, and in verse 20, Jesus says, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. It's what's in our heart that will corrupt us, and we need to purify that. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The idea of purifying your heart is to cleanse it, to wash it, to sanctify it, to set it apart from the things that corrupt it. To change its focus from things of the world to things above. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That needs to be the focus of our heart. But it's not just changing the focus of our heart. It's to put it on guard. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Some other translations render this as guard your hearts. And that's what we need to be doing. We have to be careful what we let into our hearts and our minds. That goes some of the things that JT talked about on Wednesday. The movies that we watch, the television shows that are so filthy with the sin and immorality of the world. We watch those things without even blinking an eye. We listen to music that has filthy language and talks about completely inappropriate things sometimes, and we don't even think about it. We read books and do all these things. We take the immorality of the world and we just feed ourselves on it. But we can't do it. We need to put ourselves on guard and keep that stuff away from us. Focus on those things above. That way we may be able to think and see the big picture once we're faced with sin and temptation. That's the idea of being sober. It also tells us to be vigilant. It means to watch or to give strict attention to be cautious. It's an active thing. In Matthew chapter 24, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. In verse 42, Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." While in this passage, Jesus is talking about the coming of the Lord and making this comparison here, it's this idea of being watchful and preparing for the thief here that he talks about. It's those same ideas that are being talked about here in 1 Peter chapter 5. If you knew that a thief was going to be coming to your house tonight, you wouldn't just go home as if you didn't know that information. You would take preventative measures. It would cause you to take action. You would lock your doors, your windows, make sure everything was shut up and locked up and safe. You'd be ready. You'd probably file a police report. I don't know what all you would do, but you would get ready. And it's the idea of preparation that he's talking about here by being vigilant. And I want to suggest to you three ways in which we can prepare to better combat sin. The first of which is to spend time with God's people. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, the principles talked about here are the same that we're talking about here. It says, two are better than one. In verse 12 it says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The principle here is that there's strength in numbers. We need to spend time with God's people, develop relationships with other Christians. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. We have a charge to build each other up and to help each other keep the faith. We need to be building those relationships so people can help us and we can help the others. But too often we the idea of yoking ourselves, we yoke ourselves with the world more than we do with God's people. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? In verse 17 it says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Don't yoke yourselves with the people that are going to draw you away. Obviously, we're stuck here in the world with everybody, and we do have to have relationships with people. But don't be unequally yoked to them. Build the relationships with the people that will help you get to heaven. Not only spend time with God's people, but spend time in God's Word. In Acts 17 and verse 11, in reference to the Berean brethren, Paul says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. These people were in God's word. They were taking the things that they heard from God's word. They were testing them in God's word. This was a daily thing that they were doing to understand what was true and righteous and right in the sight of the Lord. And we need to have that same attitude. We need to be in God's Word, figuring out what He would have us to do. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory both now and forever. Amen. We need to be growing. Growing in the knowledge of our Lord. And the way we do that is through reading the scriptures which He's provided for us. Grow in that knowledge. And we also need to spend time with God in prayer. Prayer is powerful. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. One who is righteous and they fervently pray before God, God will answer his prayers. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But it goes on here. It's not just pray to God. It tells you what God will do when you do that. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we pray to God, when we lay everything upon Him, we pray for ourselves, we pray for others, and we're thankful to God. He will guard us. This is how we should be vigilant and prepare for the attacks of the devil. In verse 9, he goes on in 1 Peter chapter 5 and says, resist him. Resist the devil. It's the idea to set ourselves against him, to withstand or to oppose him. Think about how Jesus reacted to his temptation in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was brought low. He had fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, and Satan confronted him. He was at his lowest point. And when faced with this temptation, he'd been faced with this third one, and what does he say? He says, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We need to have the courage and boldness that Jesus had in Matthew chapter 4 and be able to say, away with you, Satan. Because he will tempt us. He will try to get us. But when we resist him, he will flee from us. We must resist him and be steadfast in the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't let the devil cause your faith to waver. Be immovable in it. Be grounded in your faith. And continue to do the work of the Lord. And finally, he tells us to know that we aren't alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Temptation has been around for all time. We see in Genesis chapter 3, from the very start of creation, the devil was out to get man. Temptation has been around. And we all know what temptation is. We know what it's like, because in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we're told that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. We all go through temptation. Don't think you're going through it alone. We all have struggles with it. So go to the brethren and seek their help. But even when you feel like nobody else knows what you're going through, this verse tells us, but God. But God is faithful. He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. In that temptation, we can have the faith and knowledge that God is with us. And we don't have to give in to that temptation. But there is a way of escape. The sad reality is that the devil steals people away in sin. Sometimes he takes those who are close to us. And if we aren't careful, he can take us away too. So be sober. Be vigilant. Resist the devil. Be steadfast in your faith. And know that you're never going through it alone.